Blog Talk Radio.
Confirmation that even though we are different sometimes from everybody around us, that there's a reason we're different and that we shouldn't let go of our uniqueness or our differences. We should hold on to them because that's what makes us special, even if the present crowd around us doesn't appreciate that uniqueness. It means that somewhere, someday, sometime, we will, in making our own parade, find others who are doing the same, and it makes you feel very special to think that somebody wrote that song with that in mind, even though at the time it, I'm sure, didn't apply the same way to his life that it applies to mine or yours or somebody else's. Making your own parade, good idea. Good idea. And every, you know, there have been times in my life when my belief systems were certainly not those of the majority, and yet believing in what I believed in was easier, because it seemed to me that just because my belief system was different from those around me didn't mean it was wrong. It just meant it was different, and different's okay. I grew to understand that we all have inner truths. We all have inner wisdoms, and those inner truths and wisdoms are absolutely true, appropriate, and valid for us. Doesn't mean anybody else has to follow them, but it does mean that so long as you hold on to your own inner truths and value systems, that's what you're meant to do, that this lifetime is a time of being true to yourself above and beyond everything else, because that's an important thing that we have to remember, that being true to ourselves and our own inner truths and our own inner wisdoms makes us special. Even if no one else sees it, it does make us special. So anyhow, that's one of the songs that has gotten me through some pretty dark, rainy days and times, and I felt it was an appropriate song to begin the circles with, because it feels as though there has been, in my mind, an absence of places where people who had a spiritual philosophy could sit around and just sort of throw out your truths, throw out your wisdoms, and share them with other people in a place where there is no judgment. And I think that's the most important thing for us to all realize and learn and understand, that just because you don't agree with someone else's philosophy doesn't mean that it's not right for them, because of course it is. And to get to a place where you can honor other people's opinions and philosophies, you don't have to take them on, although I have always found there is always something in there that really resonates to me, no matter how crazy the rest of it may seem, and I get a seed of thought, an inclination, a spark of insight that I can apply to my own and make my own stuff even better. So though I will be sharing my philosophies with you, and hopefully you'll be sharing yours with me, it's sort of like you got to understand that you have to listen hard, but every now and then there is something that is just so glaringly, absolutely spectacular that you have to steal, and I say steal it, because I do. I take it and incorporate it into my own stuff, and that makes my stuff even better. But it's not stealing, because it's a thought and insight that you see as having another turn, another quirk. And often in these discussions, or when I'm sharing a platform with somebody else, they will get a vision or an impression, and I will be able to give a different spin on it. Same, you know, information, but just a different spin that is enlightening to everybody. So that it's important that we understand how we are so different and so unique, and that's what we should hold on to and be true to no matter what. I'm putting a lot of information out there to you. A lot of it, I believe, is universal. I'm throwing in Hinduism and Buddhism and Christianity and Judaism and as many different philosophies as I can in these weeks that we go through all of this material. And I'm not an expert in it. I can't pronounce these Sanskrit names and stuff like that, so I usually rename them. But aside from that, the philosophy is the same. And today we're talking about two very, very important things, karma and dharma. And I know everybody's heard about karma, and everybody has thrown it around, and everybody, you know, it must be karma, this happened, or that's bad karma, or that's good karma, or whatever. But I felt it was really important that we understand the two concepts, that they are absolutely connected at the hip, that you can't have one without the other. And the important one is, of course, the one that doesn't get talked about most at all. Karma karma has become almost a hackneyed expression that everybody throws around, even if they don't know where it comes from. Dharma, however, is something that none of it could exist without. And I think it's really cool and synchronistic, and I know it's no mistake, but I didn't do it on purpose. I'd like to admit, I would like to say that I was wise enough to do this way, but I wasn't. It just happened. And somewhere, somehow, my higher self was saying, let's do this way. It'll be good. You'll figure it out later. And I did. Dharma. Dharma is, there are a lot of different definitions for it, but the one that I like the best is that it is the pathway to righteousness, the pathway to morality, the foundation for morality and religion and responsibility and duty. Dharma talks of that which we base our lives on. So our inner belief system and the universal laws that are in play within our lives at all times. This is just another word for the universal laws, and it comes from the Buddhist and the Hindu philosophies. So that they say that according to some sage Hindu or Buddhist, I'm not sure which, but it says that there are 10 essential rules for the observance of Dharma, and Dharma is the foundation. It's patience, forgiveness, pity or self-control, honesty, sanctity, control of senses, reason, knowledge or learning, truthfulness, and the absence of anger. And so basically it is the universal laws. And basically it speaks of these are the foundation. From here it is, you know, Dharma is that core policy that you, your soul, works from. You want to call them universal laws, you want to call them Dharma, you want to call them whatever you like, but they are what is in place. They are what we work from, we grow from, and we expand from. They're where enlightenment, the foundation for where enlightenment comes from. If these aspects are present within your spirit, your soul, then you have a real good chance of having a spectacular life. And in one place it says, you know, good Dharma, good karma, bad Dharma, bad karma. So in other words, if you live according to the universal rules, the universal energies that are out there, then that will bring you good fortune and good everything. So it is at the very core, at the very foundation, at the very beginning of what our spirit is here to work with, to work through, and to expand upon. It's really, really important. And Dharma doesn't get the play in it that it deserves. It's in Buddhism, Dharma means cosmic law and order. In you know, what we've been working with in the past 2 weeks, it is the universal laws. In Buddhism, it is applied to the teachings of Buddha, which basically go along with the cosmic laws. And so it doesn't matter what you call it. What it's saying is if you have this basic foundation of understanding of the laws, of the cosmic nature of your spirit, of the things that are in play within your reality, within your evolution even, and then you have a better chance of being able to apply everything to your reality, and that means you have control of your reality, that you have control over everything that goes on within your reality. As you sow, so shall you reap. Come on, cause and effect. The basic things, the law of reflection. It's all here. What you put out comes back to you, and usually what people don't understand is that Glenn has put up her face. Maybe she has something to say. Oh, how cool. Thank you for remembering the face, Glennis. Hi, Glennis.
Hi, Barbara. How are you?
Terrific. How are you?
That's good. That's good. On the subject of karma, several years ago, I was told, first of all, I will say, you know, that a couple of my very young grandchildren were sexually assaulted as little tots. And I was upset one day, and this fellow said that's what they chose to have happen in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that karma works like that, that as a little child under the age of five, that you would choose to have that happen?
No. I don't believe that he sat on the other side and said, as a child, I want to be assaulted. However, I do believe that on the other side, before he incarnated, he asked for a situation that would allow him to grow in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that's what he got. So that this was in a major, I think, very serious aspect of his soul. He asked for a situation that would allow him to first understand and then grow beyond it. It was a challenge mm-hmm. to his soul for development. Now how he deals with it as he grows, as he
actually they little girls. Yeah.
Okay. As they grow and hopefully there will be understanding that this is an opportunity to rise above and to move
yeah.
beyond, so that it was a challenge to their spirit for development. And that's what they asked for. They didn't ask to be assaulted, because nobody in there, well, first of all, a spirit doesn't have concepts of, you know, you've spent at least 100 years, in my opinion, on the other side, so that you know which aspects of your spirit you want to work on the next time you come down here. And
exactly.
So
yes, I just felt that his response to the situation was not very tactful, and I do believe in karma and that we have to live the karma of past lives. I just thought, well, perhaps he could have put it a different way, and the way you put it, yes, is far more acceptable. Yeah,
because
we wouldn't
choose. Oh goodness, no! I mean, the soul is total love. I mean, on the other side, before we come down, we understand unconditional love. But we also understand that we need to grow in certain aspects and areas, so we ask for challenges that will allow us to do this. I mean, it is a horrible thing to happen to any individual. However,
yeah.
you can take that experience and you can become the most spectacular person in the world.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Because you have grown beyond it and understand that forgiving is important and wonderful, and if they're capable of doing that, that's spectacular. I'm not sure I could do that, but you can take the trauma and you can grow through the trauma and become an amazingly compassionate, empathetic, sensitive, tender, loving,
caring person. When you listen, there are a lot who have done exactly that. You know, they've turned it around to be an extremely useful lesson in their life.
Absolutely. I have a friend of my mother's. Her oldest daughter was abused and then murdered. And within 6 months of that, and her oldest daughter was in her late teens, she not only met with the person that had done it, but she counseled him, told him she loved him, and that she forgave him.
Oh,
and
that's great strength.
At the trial, she begged for mercy for him. And he stood up and said, I don't deserve the mercy this woman offers. I will carry this burden for the rest of my life. And mercy was given him. And he became a minister, and he counseled prisoners during his life term in prison.
Oh, my goodness me. That gives me goosebumps all over. That is the absolute forgiveness. Wow.
And so she took what would be a horrific experience, and she grew beyond it.
Absolutely, indeed, yes.
And so that's in spirit, that's what was hoped for, I would think. But you know, it's up to each individual what they do with the experience. They did ask for a situation through which they could ascend.
And I think also it brings, I'm sorry, Barbara, I cut you off.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
I think it brings us back to that power of words again, because this day, it's quite a number of years ago, but on this day I was distressed thinking about, you know, my little granddaughters, and it was the power of the words that gentleman used. He was meaning to be consoling, but his words were too sharp. So I think, mm-hmm. you know, it comes back to the karma, the compassion, the way you select your words and the tone that you use as well.
Yeah, and you know, it's you know, so many of us have seen things, and you know, the situations where children are mass murdered, where, I mean, there are a lot of things that happen that are horrific, but if you are stepping back and taking a cosmic look at it, there is a balance of some sort. There are lessons that are there. When a child dies from whatever cause, those parents have the choice. Are they going to let it ruin their marriage and destroy their lives, or are they going to take it as a trigger to find a deeper, more spiritual aspect to their lives? And that doesn't mean they step on soapboxes and preach. That means they change their lives and they help other people, or they in some way impact humanity in a more loving, kind way. I mean,
another lesson.
We have a choice. We have an absolute choice to take whatever trauma or awful thing that happens in our life. We have a choice. We can roll up in a little ball and come back next lifetime and try to deal with it better, or we can weep it out, cry it out, and then roll our sleeves up and say, okay, this was horrible, but let me make it something good.
And it shows nothing is set in concrete. Everything is changeable. So the path that we choose to follow isn't always black and white. It can change. Everything can change.
Well, that's the cool thing about karma. We can't do much about our past because we've already done that and screwed stuff up.
But it's how we deal with it now, yes.
It's how we deal with it now, and by how we deal with it now determines our future. So that you know, you can stay where you are now, and everyone else will move beyond you, and you will just be miserable. Or you can start to perceive it and seed your consciousness to have a more powerful understanding. And you know, you don't do it with bitterness; you do it with love. And by doing it with love, by doing it with okay. I choose not to remain here. I want to go more positively into the future. And in order to do that, I have to put out positive thoughts and positive actions. And not just, you know, for the next 5 minutes or 15 minutes, but for the rest of the day, for the rest of my life. And the more positive you are.
It defines a person, doesn't it?
It absolutely does.
It defines who you are, the way you deal with it. And I noticed with these three little girls in particular who are now adults, it has defined who they are. And, tragic, horrible, but it is another of life's lessons. And as you say, we can choose how we go from that lesson, how we deal with it. And it defines who we are,
positively or not. There's a man who was born without arms and without legs. And
yes, that's that guy from Australia.
Yes, and he is the most positive,
Amazing. Motivational
speaker you ever. He has skydived. He has surfboarded.
Doesn't he make you feel like an absolute whinger when you see what he can do, and look at him, and he just glows. He just glows
absolutely.
With love for everything.
And I remember hearing him speak, and he said that he was devastated to think that he could never hold a woman in his arms. And then he said, but I understand now that I can hold a woman in my heart, and that's even better.
Exactly.
And
you could cry watching that video.
Yeah, and the reality here is it's totally, absolutely up to us, 100%. We got a situation. And how we deal with it, how we go forward from it, determines what our future is going to be. And you know, those children have an opportunity to not only, you know, rise above this and go beyond it, but have great impact on the lives of thousands of people if they choose to.
Exactly. We can use it as a crutch or we can use it to push forward.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. And you know, you can either let it take you down or you can let it build you up. And it's your choice.
Exactly.
And you know, yep. At the instance that those things happen, you know, all you can do is cry. I mean, you know, come on, we're
yes.
human. But yeah, you know, it's kind of like, I mean, and my mother's friend who, you know, counseled the person that had murdered
Phenomenal.
Her daughter horribly.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, we have to go through that period of grieving and then allow ourselves to decide, well, where to from here? You stay with that
yeah.
grief or you turn it around and make it something more positive in your life.
Absolutely. And, you know, you've picked a horrific thing, but, you know, things happen to us in everyday life that are, you know, semi-devastating and, you know, really upsetting. And you can wallow in it and rant about it and cry about it, or you can say, okay, how can I use this to really, you know, be a positive aspect to my life? This is something major. And this is
where you have to have the thinking open, because, you know, we always say everything happens for a reason, and my immediate response is crap with that incident with the little girls.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it is true. Everything does happen for a reason, and it's for you to find that reasoning.
Well, and you know, let me just suggest that everything happens for a positive reason. Because
yes.
it's something that has happened. You know, you asked for a situation because you wanted, your spirit needed an opportunity to expand, evolve, and grow. And
yes.
so, and the universe doesn't give us negative stuff. It gives, there is no such thing as negative. There is, you know, you have the experience. You have the energy there. It's how you perceive it. Now nobody's ever going to write this man a thank you note, but you know, but he has to deal with the karma of what he has done.
Exactly.
But you know, and so he has that he will have to deal with at some point in time, this life or another. But they have a wonderful opportunity to grow from this, and so
yes.
long as there is breath in their bodies, they have that opportunity to take that situation and move it in a direction that is just absolutely not only enlightening and empowering to them, but to other people as well. You know, they can become
that makes you try a little harder.
Right, absolutely, and it I would think. It can make you also reflect on your own life and your own situations. And, you know, so-and-so did this to me. Isn't that rotten? And, yeah, it's rotten, but it didn't kill me. And, it, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And so, you know, let me take this and grow from this. Don't, you know, I'm not letting this situation pass by and just letting it go and walking away. I want to grow from it. So how do I grow in a positive way? And you know, take advantage of the situation that I've been dealt, because clearly I asked for this kind of a situation. And you know, what was it that I needed to do that I hadn't done so that the universe gave me the opportunity? You know, they kind of 2x4'd me between the, you know, I call it my 2x4
exactly.
experiences. You know, you haven't been listening, smack, here, take this and grow. And
okay.
and it's like, okay, I'm going to listen to the subtleties from now on because they're more fun.
Exactly.
But
what we get from it is different for each individual. And those individuals are not only those that were affected firsthand, it's those
mm-hmm.
who are affected second and third hand and so on by the listening of the story.
Well, yes, and not only that, but, you know, hopefully people take the experience and grow from it themselves. I don't want that to happen to me. Let me look at my life.
Yeah.
Am I putting myself in that position? Am I giving my power away? Am I allowing other people to start to program my consciousness for me? And you know, that's something that's very important to pay attention to, because as
Absolutely.
Young children, our parents and our teachers, our environment, our culture, our ethnicity, they all start to program our consciousnesses. And when we become aware of the fact that we have control over this, then we have to back away from those people that are programming us for us because they love us and they know what's best for us. No, they don't. At some point in time, we have to take control of our lives and our directions and our belief systems. And I grew up in a Presbyterian household. And over my life, I have looked into and delved into as many different belief systems as I possibly could. I call myself now a universalist because I think everything counts. But yes. I don't worship deities. I acknowledge the spark of the infinite within each and every living thing on the planet. So that I am not a specific religion. I just honor spirit in all. But that's mine.
I would agree.
That's what I have done. And everybody has the opportunity and the right to do the exact same thing. But I think that, you know, so often religions have very, very, very rigid
destructive
structure.
Powers. They can have very destructive powers, yeah.
Okay, you said it. I thought it. You said it. But creation did not happen as a religious thing. It happened as a moment in time when creation expanded, and we all were blinked. Our spirits were blinked into creation. You know, we are a part of creation. We are a part of the infinite intelligence that put this all into play. And so we have a part of, if you want to use the term God, of God within us, of infinite intelligence. We are connected to that infinite intelligence. And because we are connected to that infinite intelligence, we are that infinite intelligence. So you know, when I am trying to connect...
This brings you back all the time to that power that you were born with, that infinite power that you are of yourself, and that you make your own decisions. You don't have to be led by anyone. You have that choice.
Yeah, but it's also okay to ask for directions.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, directions are great, but the ultimate decision, when you gather in all of the information, I can decide to say, well, Barbara, you speak crap, or, yeah, I agree with what you're saying. So, you know, that power to be who you choose to be.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, when I am trying to, are you familiar with the Catholic service at all?
Yes, yes, I'm one of them.
Okay,
my mother would like me to be.
You know how at one point you pound your chest a couple times, you know, and I'm not sure what that's for. But I usually I have my hand open, my open palm, and I remind myself that it's within. I touch my chest and I say, okay, in there, pay attention, wake up, we have work to do. And so, you know, I don't use a fist. I just use my open palm and say, you know, wake up. We have to go to work. Wake up. There's something that we have to, you know, we have to address here. Usually before I, you know, do a group or anything like that, you know, I do the, come on, we have to get together here and make sure the right words come out of my mouth so I don't totally offend someone.
Which is more loving and accepting of what you've got within and what you're going to share rather than that condemnation of bashing, you know, come alive, come alive.
Well, you know, the reason for a discussion circle was for people to share their philosophies. And you know, everybody has something very worthwhile to share. Everybody has something very important to add to the whole energetic. I mean, just being there and listening, it helps tremendously. Just listening in the archives have blown me away. I don't know who's listening, but it's really not just the 60 people that signed up for this, because the archives are well over that. So it's really a phenomenal experience to know that what we say here has been archived, if I put it all together, over 1,000 times. And it's something that you know, we'll keep reaching out for people, I hope. And, you know, I, and Deb and I will continue to do this, and Jeannie. as long as there is interest. And I think it's really important that, you know, I am totally staying away from the psychic and all of that stuff, because the reality is the more sensitive you become to yourself and others, the more sensitive you become overall. It does open you up psychically. It opens you up spiritually. It opens you up in all sorts of directions. And what you do with that awareness is totally up to you. But
it comes back to getting that better understanding of self, doesn't it?
Yeah. And so what I mean, I got into this field because I was looking to understand myself and find my higher consciousness. I knew it was in there someplace. It was a big surprise to me that voice that talked to me so quietly every now and then was literally my higher consciousness. And it wasn't my ego. It was my link to the infinite. It was a very simple thing. And we've talked a number of times in the circles about some people expect there have to be 15 different levels of consciousness, and frankly, that's way too complicated for me as far as I'm concerned. There's my consciousness that deals with my reality. That's my ego, and then I have my higher consciousness inside that just sits back and shakes its head. So, and every now and then the two of them get together, and then cool stuff happens. But it's really, really important for all of us to understand that this is a foundation that we all should have just as really good human beings. And the more you understand it, the more you apply it to your life, and the more you understand what those...
And it need not be complicated.
No, not at all.
No need ever for the complication. You know, when you break it all down, it's really quite simple.
Absolutely. It's so simple that people think it can't be that easy. And the reality is it's very easy. First of all, you're in charge. First of all, you are a God as much as the God that people say created us is a God. So that you have total power, total control, total everything. What Jesus was capable of, you're capable of. What the gurus that float are capable of, you are capable of. We all have the same basic structure. We have a spirit inside of a human body, and we are experiencing a human lifetime as a spirit. And you can let as much of that spirit out into the reality and become a part of your personality and how you address your reality, or you can keep it cooped up inside, and next lifetime it'll come back with a better personality that'll let it out.
That word choice again. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Total. Yeah. Absolute choice. And there are people that you think, you know, the spirit must have missed the boat when they were born or something. But that's not true. Sometimes
it's a little bit hidden.
Well, sometimes the choice was, let me see what it's like when there is no spiritual aspect to a person's life.
Yes.
And so the spirit rides for an entire lifetime inside the body, never having the ability to help the person. And, you know, that to me is such a sad thing, because letting that spiritual aspect of our nature to blend with our physical nature makes us a richer person. We may not have any money, but it's a richer person. And so
it's that richness that you feel within, yes, it's good.
Absolutely. And it means that no matter how crummy everything is, you still have the essence of joy. And you can look at just how crappy everything is and have to laugh at it because, you know, it's, how did I get myself in this mess?
Exactly.
What was I thinking or smoking on the other side before I checked all those boxes? I have to avoid that next time. But you know, it's amazing. There are no mistakes. There are no coincidences. There is a grand plan that's being played out.
You took the word out of my mouth. That plan, and that plan that we can change if we choose.
We can't change the fact that the lessons and the challenges are going to come our way, but we can absolutely change how we address them and how we perceive them.
Yes.
And it's like, Sometimes I will see something happening in my life and part of me is saying, oh, no, not again. Didn't I deal with that last time? And
yes.
And clearly not, because here it rolls in again. And, I mean, there have been situations in the last, I don't know, couple months where I've said to myself, you think you would have learned by now, you know? You had to repeat this lesson yet again?
Mm.
And so I had to, after I got done ranting and raving, I had to laugh at myself for having done something so simple again. And you know, this time I'm going to use it and I'm going to make it into something, you know, that is so rich and so joyful that I won't forget that I have claimed my power back again. And
so maybe,
you know,
that's looking at many ways of doing one thing, and that, mm-hmm. you know, we can do it this way today and then it comes back. That, my goodness, you've not learned that lesson. So let's look at it another way and try it another
mm-hmm.
way.
Yeah, there must have been something. Yeah, I must have missed something on the last pass by.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And you know, if that is the case, then I had best, you know, really chew this one to pieces, because, you know, I don't want to do this again. And I would, you know, I'll screw up another way, but I'm not going to screw up this way again.
Exactly. It's like handing out the absolute hatred in response to something that someone did to you.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that hatred then do for you?
Well, not only that, but they had to do it because I asked for the lesson. In a way,
exactly.
they were put there for me to learn from, and I shouldn't. You know, there's really no animosity in me towards the person that did whatever they did.
Yeah.
It's just that, you know, first of all, how sad for them that they now are, that look at the horrible position I put them in. I needed to have a lesson yet again, so they have to take the karma of being bad because I didn't learn my lesson the time before.
That's very lenient thinking.
I mean, I almost have to
yes.
apologize to this person for not having learned this before, because they have to now have the karma for doing what they did to me. And you know, oh my goodness, I caused that. If I'd learned this lesson before, this person might have a happier life. Damn, I'm bad.
Wow. That's a heavy load. I'm not taking that one.
Well, I was just using it as an illustration. I'm not shouldering it either. They deserve the karma.
I didn't think of that one.
But in essence, if I were to step on a platform and assume that I was a real spiritual person, I would feel awful that I had put them in that position. But I mean, that's what happens. I mean, it's cause and effect, cause and effect, cause and effect, cause and effect. They probably deserved the lesson. They hadn't learned something else someplace else too. But you know, you look at it, you step back and you say, okay, let me look at this really spiritually. Let me try to anyhow. And the more you look at it, the more you realize that there it's a domino effect throughout life. And we can choose whether and we can choose whether it's a really pretty picture or one that has no continuity. And, you know, frankly, I like pretty pictures. So, you know, and that doesn't make me a saint, and it doesn't make me a goody-goody, and it doesn't make me a Susie Sunshine either. But the reality is that if you want to sit back and really look at the whole picture, it changes how you look at your reality tremendously.
Absolutely,
It changes not only your own personal reality, but look at society as a whole. Look at the world. Look at the karma nations are incurring.
And if we were able to truly look at it like that, then we could stop throwing the arrows of saying it's your fault, the blame rests with you, and then we have more unrest that creates
mm-hmm.
more problems. So, yeah, the conversation is one that is excellent, because you get a greater understanding of your response and why, and then how that response affects other people, and does it sit here and stop, or does it go on and create another karma of a nasty nature?
Well, and the reality here is that there is no such thing as a single cause and a single effect, because every cause gets an effect, and then every effect becomes a cause that creates another effect. That, I mean, it dominoes. It absolutely dominoes. And you just don't know, and it never stops. It continues on. It's like that, I've said it before and I really like it, just so I'll bring it in again. The drop of water that creates a little ripple that becomes a larger ripple, that becomes a swell, that becomes a wave, that becomes a tsunami.
And you can relate that to life, which is what we're talking about, of course. But I mean, if you look at the picture of life on Earth today, with so many people fighting each other, that's that ripple effect.
Absolutely, and that's karma also at work. And I think what a lot of people don't really understand is that karma, while the law of karma is absolute, and it is. Karma is actually cause and effect. Karma is, you know, good action gets good results, bad action gets bad results. But it isn't just a singular lifetime we're talking about. It's the total expanse of all of eternity. So that you know, you may gather a whole bunch of great karma, and then maybe you don't work so much on karma in the next couple of lifetimes, so that you suddenly have bad stuff coming. And I think all of us have done that. All of us in our evolutions throughout time have been, you know, saints and sinners, have been priests and whores, have been murderers and martyrs. I mean, we've done it all. So that we have ridden this flow of karma throughout time. And for the most part, we haven't understood it.
That statement that you just made, you can see that is demonstrated, because if you look back, I mean, first of all, you know, if you look at the atrocities that are happening in the world today, step back and you can go back quite a long way back, and exactly the same things were happening.
Absolutely.
So whilst we say, you know, this is dreadful, all of this horrendous action that takes lives away, we were doing that hundreds of years ago.
Thousands of years ago.
So we're not learning the lessons.
But, you know, what I truly believe is that I think humanity, for the most part, is at a time and a place where they are capable of a greater understanding of their power and their purpose within a lifetime.
I believe so, yeah.
And I think that this particular generation that's on the planet now is maybe half and half. But I do believe that in the evolutionary process, people will become more and more and more aware of their power and their responsibility to that power. And you know, just the fact that hundreds of people do listen to the archives of this show, of this circle, of these circles, sort of is a testimony of saying people are beginning to understand that they have total power. They have total the potential for them to have a rich lifetime, rich in the aspect of good things happening and happy things happening and wonderful things coming their way. They have control over that. And
they're grabbing the opportunity to enhance that understanding.
Exactly. And the fact that just the simple way they perceive their reality shifts and changes everything. You know, there are politicians out there that wouldn't understand what you and I are talking about, but there are lots of people out there who are quote unquote normal people that, if they understood it sooner or later, politicians and big corporate entities would be in the minority instead of the majority. And then they would have to understand. And even if they don't understand, they wouldn't be able to have the power they have over everyone. But it's a matter of, are we going to allow other people to seed our consciousnesses with untruths, or are we going to find our own inner truths, and are we going to live by those? I've spent the last month or so researching giants in our reality. And the stuff I found was phenomenal, and it's all on the website if you want to look at it. But the reality is,
I did have a look at it, and I thought I've got to go back and do more. That's fascinating. I left a comment about it. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, they not only did exist, they do exist. They're in our DNA, and this is a level of our history that no one's ever told us about. And okay, so history, historians, whoever, don't always have all the answers. But when the answers are there to be seen and the evidence is there to be touched, why have they not included that in our history so we understand our own evolution? And it's up to us to sort of gather that knowledge if no one's going to...
Yeah,
absolutely. Question. For God's sakes, question. I don't have all the answers, but the more material I pull together, the more I realize this is something that everybody should know about. And it's not earth-shattering. It just means that 20,000 years ago, giants inhabited North America, and the Indians had to fight them for it when they came here 15,000 years ago. So that's interesting. And I do believe that so many of the myths that we've been taught really are based firmly in reality. We just don't have the proof for it at this moment in time. And you know, you even go into the angels and the gods of antiquity possibly being extraterrestrials. And they're made of the same stuff we are. They have the same spark of the infinite in them that we have in us. They just may be wiser than us at this moment in time and have technology that is better than us, but that doesn't make them any different from us, even though their form may be different and their shape may be different and stuff like that, maybe breathe different atmospheres, I don't know. But the reality here is that when we meet another part of creation that is different, we either kill it or worship it. We don't try to communicate with it. And
the more we look into it, the better understanding we've got of the bigger picture and not this storytelling where they've got a minute piece of information, they pass it on, and every time it's passed on, the story changes. And then you wonder what part of that story is real and what part is what we make up along the way.
Well, the human species is really good at making up those stories and so good that you know, I don't understand this. So here's the story behind how it happened. And you know, those stories have become the history, and the history has been accepted. And science, it goes along with it. When science can't explain something, it either negates it out totally or ignores it or makes up some cockamamie story that everybody buys without investigating it.
And then there's the other part of it, that this is not what the majority may want to hear. So like you say, we negate it, we bury it, and then we have the story that is more popular.
Absolutely. And it's just, it's sort of like we're all coming to a place we all are coming to a place in time where this concept is not abhorrent. But some people will say, well, maybe that's so, but I don't want to have any part of it. And other people will say, tell me more. Show me how to expand my own consciousness. Show me how to touch into that part of myself that is questioning, and so for the first time, I think, you know, I could be wrong, but for the first time, I think as a species, as a culture, We are understanding that we have the power to change our reality. We have the power to do all sorts of magical things that really aren't magical, and that at one time on this earth plane, I really do believe that it was common knowledge that we could that we were telepathic, that we could bilocate, that we could do astral traveling. I think there is a level of time here on this planet when our spirits were totally aware of our consciousness, and our consciousness was totally aware of the spirits, and we were capable of amazing, magical things that today are magical, but then were common. And I believe...
And with that And with that must go the responsibility of understanding that power that you have and not to abuse that power.
Yes.
Because a lot of people these days, I've noted, are quite willing to have the power to do, to be, to say, but they don't accept the responsibility of the actions that they take. So that's the other part of it. They need to make sure that balance is always there.
And how many, you know, and this does not take any, and I really, it's important that everybody understand this. This doesn't take a college education or a high school education or a grade school education. This is just common sense. This,
Absolutely, it takes.
I mean, look at the hugging nun. She has no education. Look at John of God. He's illiterate. And yet he helps thousands of people. I mean, understanding these powers, these abilities that you have inside of you, the only thing you have to know is love. And
exactly.
These people know the love, and they're sharing their gifts, and they're giving their gifts away as best they can. And there are people that will take advantage of that, and there are people that will be corporate entities that will market whatever. But the reality is that they are touching vast numbers of people without any consideration as to their state or status or their marital whatever or how much money they have in the bank. They just want to help. And I'm not saying we all should become like those two. I think that a little more like wouldn't be bad. But you have to adapt it to whatever situation you happen to have chosen for this lifetime. And it's sort of you reach out and you touch people as best you can. And if you're just doing it in everyday work, if you're just doing it in talking to your relatives, where often there are greater challenges than with everybody else, whatever situation you happen to be in is how you impact your reality. It's why you were placed there. We were all literally placed where we are for a reason. And a good reason, not a bad
exactly.
reason,
yeah.
not as punishment,
exactly.
you know, this is where you can grow, go for it. And you know, in some cases, you look around and you say, oh, this sucks. I don't see how I'm going to grow here, but always. Always, 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 there is a way.
It's like finding another track, yeah.
Yeah, and you're never put in a place where there isn't joy. You just have to find it. And you know, if joy is I think a great tool. Laughter is an amazing tool. And you know, these concepts that we're talking about are serious, heavy duty stuff. But if you can't laugh about it, you have a problem. Because
you've lost the plot if there's no laughter. Yeah, that's right. And it's like everything is simple, but use your own initiative to find what suits you. So if you think that you've been given a bowl of bad apples, you know, you then decide how you want to feel about that. You can make it a big issue. Sorry, go on.
Yeah. That's absolutely true. Often we are in positions where we think we've been really given a bad deal. This isn't fair. I'm a good, loving person. Why is this happening to me? It's happening
to you because
you asked for the challenge. So stop telling me how wonderful you are and prove it.
Exactly.
Deal with it in a loving manner. So many people today are caught. And you know, at least here, people are out of work like crazy. And it's, you know, I usually say to people, that's so exciting. That means you can finally, you know, take your life in the direction you were meant to originally take it in, but you didn't take it in because you were brainwashed by people around you that you had to have a career and you had to earn money. Now, what are those skills and things that you love to do that you can do well? And if you're able to do those things that you can do well and actually make a living, that's fabulous. You don't have to make millions. You just have to, you know, be comfortable. It's amazing how if you perceive this as an opportunity as opposed to a punishment or something that's awful happening to you, then that's what it is.
There's that, And it all comes down to that ability to accept when you're on the low ebb of things that, you know, I can turn this around to make it better. But it's that ability at the moment, you know, like when we're riding high, we can say, well, look, you know, you've been handed a bowl of bad apples. These are some of the things that you may do with that. Mm-hmm. But then when you're down and out, you think, crap, what a lot of crap, you know? So it's finding that way up. So, you know, Yeah.
And, well, I know a long time ago, well, it was a long time ago. It was about 30 years ago. I was in a relationship with someone that was really not a good relationship. It was bad for me and you know, all sorts of stuff. And it cost me a lot of money, and happily I got out of it. But I found that I had paid for everything. And when I finally got out of the relationship, and I never married the person, but I had what would have been his wedding ring. And did not realize I had paid for it. And when I did realize I had paid for it, I took it into the jeweler. And he said, you know, well, do you want to return it? And I said, no, I want you to engrave something on the outside of it so that it'll fit on my finger, my middle finger, my biggest finger, not my thumb, but my middle finger. And he said, are you crazy? And I said, no, I'm serious. And he said, well, on the outside you want something engraved? And I said, yes. And he said, what do you want to have engraved? I said, and this too shall pass. And I wore that ring for I think decades, and it reminded me that no matter how good things were, it would pass, and no matter how bad things were, it would pass. Everything is fluid. Nothing stays the same unless you unless you insist on it. And no matter how good or bad, this too shall pass. And it was a wonderful reminder to me that you know, bad stuff, it goes away. Good stuff, it mellows out. I mean, you can get to a place where things are really, really good. You know, highs are highs, mountaintops are mountaintops, but there are also valleys. And
exactly.
That's part of life.
Yeah.
And no matter
and
where you
finding,
are on, yeah, and no matter
yeah.
no matter oh. where you are on that pathway, it's going to pass. Just get through it. It reminded me a lot of the fact that we are on a pathway, and it's a fluid. We are constantly in motion, and if we allow ourselves to constantly move forward, we do. And so it's a matter of saying, okay, just a little more, and I'll be around the corner, and we'll be on to better things. And that's exactly, if that's the way you're perceiving it, that's the way it happens. You know, you're in a place, you make your own roadmap. And if you're going to the dump, then that's where you end up. And if you're going to a better place, then that's where you end up. But the important thing for me to say, it isn't just saying, you know, whatever you perceive, you have to believe that perception. There has
Absolutely.
To be belief.
I know working with people who had lots of problems, you know, we used to have this terminology for the people who would tell you the same story many, many times over about how hard life was for them and how they were not going anywhere and they would never get anywhere. So we used to call them leaky bags because, you know, that's all they did. They just leaked out this story of misery.
Mm-hmm.
They would never look within to think, well, how can I turn that around?
Right.
So the concept of turning it around is you. You know, that's you. It's not how I would turn it around for you, but I think that's who we are. How we turn it around is who we are.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, all of these situations are challenges. We've asked for these challenges, for God's sake. I mean, you know, no matter how awful something looks, clearly it was put there because you're capable of overcoming it. You're capable of moving forward. You're capable of finding richness here. And you know, many times you need to sit with something for a long time before you come to that point. But hopefully everybody always does, because you can't go through life saying, I've been given a bad deal, because you haven't been. You have been given cards that you can play and play wisely. And you can win the hand. You just have to pay attention. And it's in many ways, it's a game. I mean, it's a cosmic game, and it's very serious because, of course, your soul is involved in it.
But it's interesting. Nonetheless, it's very interesting and very worthwhile being involved in, not just sitting back and allowing it to pass. Be involved.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, because if you allow it to pass, you are guaranteed it will come again.
Absolutely.
Unless you...
And then you can sit there and whinge. Because, you know, this is what you've created. So, yeah, get involved and look what you can do to change whatever in your life, in your thinking. It's all the thinking.
It is. It is. And it's programming. And how are you going to program yourself? Are you going to program yourself to take advantage of it, make something of it, and you know, move beyond it? Or are you going to just try to get through it as fast as you can so it's over with? And if that's what you choose, just know that it will come back, and
it's
you
really
will have
true.
To
enjoy the ride.
Yes.
Enjoy the ride.
You enjoy this; it'll come again if you don't deal with it. So just take care of it. And those people that are caught in those places where they just don't see any future, they don't see any new direction to go in and stuff like that. It's sad to be in that position, and it. You want to shake them and say, come on, you asked for this. There's got to be something inside of you here that can take this and make a positive of it.
It's almost like you need to get them to write those two lists, you know, what is good in your life and what is not good, and then how can you turn those negatives around to a positive, you know, get them to really look at what the situation is and the possibilities.
Yeah, you focus people like that on, you know, give me your positives and negatives, and your negative will be a book and your positive will be two sentences.
Yes.
But the reality here is no matter how bad it seems, there's something positive here. There's something to grow from here. There's something to take from this and say, I'm not writing you a thank you letter, but thank you, and I will grow from this, and I will be stronger and better because of this. And
absolutely.
You know, and sometimes you have to grit your teeth. Sometimes it isn't easy. But always, always, if you move forward from situations, always, 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 there is laughter and joy, and there is a sense of celebration because you made it through the rain. And
absolutely, look in the mirror.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You got, you know, the law of refraction. Reflection here, you know, what is going on inside of you is what your reality becomes. And so when your reality sucks, it's because that's how you're seeing it. And I'm not saying this happens overnight. I'm saying this is a habit you get into over time. I'm 70 years old, and you know, do I stumble and fall? Absolutely, absolutely.
Absolutely, yes.
I stumble and fall.
Yes.
But,
you don't have sainthood yet, do you?
No. It's not coming this lifetime for sure. My halo is definitely not. It's in hock. If I had one, it would be in hock. But the reality here is that. It is our choice, and everybody hearing this, everybody listening, everybody out there who isn't listening, is going through the same process, and it's your perception, it's how you deal with it, it's how you apply yourself, it's your intention of your actions as they go out that create.
Exactly, and it's what they call life.
Yes. And it, you know, how else are you going to learn? You're here to. This is a lifetime of learning, and growth. And if you're not learning, there's no point to your being here. I mean, you know, you can do that. You can take vacation. You can come down here. You can take a lifetime and not learn anything, and that's okay. The next lifetime, you'll come down in about the same position, and you'll just take it up from there. You are eternal. You have forever.
Yes.
And it's your choice how you spend that time and that energy. If you want to waste a lifetime, go for it. There's no judgment. It's up to you. And we've all been there, and we've all done that.
Exactly. It's like the eternal learning. Life is a lesson. It's learning. Yeah. And when you stop learning, it's a bit boring, I would imagine.
Yeah, I would imagine too. I think the most exciting thing about life is there's always something new to learn, and
exactly.
You know, whether it's computer science or whether it's spirituality or whether it's a combination of the both of them, it's
meeting another person with another point of view, even if the point of view you might think, well, a lot of crap or how stupid, it's still learning, regardless.
Well, I would rather meet somebody that didn't have the same philosophy at all that I could talk to, that I could debate with.
Yes.
Patrick and I agreed on a lot of stuff, but we disagreed on reincarnation. And we had many nights that we stayed up all night just you know, giving the other person our philosophy. And we finally had to come to a standstill of we agreed to disagree on it. And I said to him,
"Did you come
through
to you still with that argument?"
Well, it was really funny because we agreed that the first person to die would first thing off the bed check out and see who was right, whether it was genetic memory or whether it was reincarnation, and we'd come back immediately and tell the other one, you know, which way it was.
Yeah.
I haven't heard from Patrick, so I would assume I was right. And he just is is not going to come back and say, okay, so you were right. I will say that I do believe it's probably a combination of the two of them. I do believe that there is genetic memory, but I also believe wholeheartedly that the spirit comes back time after time after time. So that there's a combination of the two there, because that's why we and how we recognize and feel past lives and understand the lessons learned in them and apply that wisdom.
The spirit has just asked you, has he come back, Barbara?
Patrick has every now and then something happens that I know could only be Patrick. He has not knocked on the door and said, hi, I'm here. Surprise, no. But there have been moments when I have been doing a radio show or something and I suddenly am talking conspiracy theory, and that has to be Patrick there because I'm not a conspiracy person. And there have been times when I have been able to pull things out of the hat, biblically speaking, that I had no idea what I was saying that have to be Patrick's influence. So is he around? Oh, yeah, I have no doubt about that at all. Have we sat and had coffee or tea? Not quite. But yeah, no, he's around. He's around. And, you know, he had his finger in there. And I've been fooling around with his website, so I'm sure he's around. The giant material
absolutely.
Was originally his. Secrets of the Stones is now totally on my website. The giant material is now totally on
excellent.
My website.
So you've still got Bear working overtime, have you?
Oh, no, she's not working with me anymore.
I thought she was doing your website.
No, I'm doing the website now. She did a beautiful job of redesigning my website and bringing it into the 21st century, and for that I am eternally grateful for her. She also put it in a form that I am able to go in and add to it and take away from it and do all the posts and do everything, all of the work. So she had an accident and she was hurt and she wasn't able to do any work for a while, and that meant I had to kind of step in and take it back. And now that, you know, I've found ways and happily people that can help me out, I think she's much better now, and I think she's, you know, doing shows of her own, and so she's getting back into the flow. But, no, she and I aren't working together anymore, but she did a beautiful, beautiful job on redoing my website so that it now is 21st century.
So you've learned another skill, huh?
It was absolutely not my intent, but I have found that when push came to shove, I did find that a lot of the stuff was stuff that I already knew, but I had never applied, and so I found some online tutorials that are phenomenal, and I've been able to know all of the giant stuff was mine, Secrets of the Stone stuff, mine. And, of course, all the work on my website was my work. And I'm able to be in full control of my website, which is something that I never thought I would do.
And you have some fascinating stuff that is really good to read on your website. It's really good.
Well, I do thank you. And, you know, the technology did scare me, but, you know, she was just out of commission in tremendous pain, and she had a lot of stuff that she had to do, and she's going to school full-time too. So it just made sense to take it back and take it over, and I do thank her for all of the work she did because she did a great job.
Yes, it looks fabulous. I'm going to let you talk to somebody else.
Well, I thank you so much for stepping in and sharing as well. I think that, you know, it really helps to have other voices in here too, because this is meant to do a sharing, and I really appreciate your stepping in with your questions, because it took us in another direction that I think was really, really important to go in. So
yes, and that's the beauty of it, isn't it? It's great.
Well, and I do thank you for setting your alarm for so early in the morning. I greatly appreciate that.
Yeah, but it was about 2:15, I got up, and it's now 4:15 in the morning.
Wow.
But it's been worth it. I enjoy it. Because I'd missed yesterday because I had to go away, and then I missed last week because I had to do likewise, you know, when family call. So I thought, no, this. I'm going not miss another one, so I set the alarm and thought, that's it, here I am. And I enjoy it, it's really good. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Glennis. Take care now.
You too, Bob. Thank you.
Okay, so I want to get back to some of the karma stuff, because it's really, really important that, and you know, anybody feel free to call in. I am open to chatting with anyone here. But I do want to... I want you to understand that karma, what we send out, what we put up, what we give out, all of that stuff, it is our intention of what we do and what we give out that is the important thing. You can do what is the right thing, but your intention is just to fill a void or to do what's expected of you, and that doesn't get you the good karma. If you happen to be a millionaire and you know people are looking at what you're giving money to, and you give a large sum of money to an organization that is good for you politically, even though you have given a large sum of money to an organization that is doing a great deal of good, your intention was to get good press. It wasn't to help other people. So that the important thing, you know, you didn't get good karma from that, is what I'm trying to say. If your intention is to get a return, then that doesn't work. If your intention is to look good to other people, then that doesn't work. The universe isn't fooled by wrong intentions. And so it's really, really, really important that you understand that your intentions are at the core of what kind of karma you're getting. And frankly, if you're doing things for political reasons, or if you're doing things because it's socially acceptable, or if you're doing things because it'll look good to somebody else, and therefore you'll impress them, then all those will do is pull in mediocre, if not bad, karma. So you have to understand that it's your intention that is so very, very important when it comes to all of this. If what you're doing has sincere, genuine intentions, if what you're doing is trying to help, if what you're doing, you are doing out of sheer love of the other person or sheer love of humanity, then you got it made. Then there really is something very genuine and wonderful going on here, and then your karma is going to be good karma. And that means that good things will come to you, but not necessarily in direct proportion or from the same source. Karma karma kind of comes when it's due, not when you expect it. So if you are expecting something, then probably what you get in return is not what you had expected. My favorite story is a friend of mine. I did a convention, and this friend went with me, and I gave a lot of stuff away because I was having a good time and I didn't really care, and it was at a time in my life where I didn't need the money to live by. It wasn't that I was rich, I was just comfortable and I didn't need the money. So I was giving away paintings and I was giving away readings, and I was having a very good time. It didn't matter to me if I get paid or not. And at the end of the convention, a lot of people came and thanked me for what I had given or whatever, and a lot of people gave me gifts. I mean, food for the trip back or a shawl or, you know, something that they had done or made or whatever. And I came away like a bandit, and it was, you know, never had I thought that, you know, I just had a good time. And he saw all this, and he said, well, what is all that about? And I said, well, you know, when you give away and you're genuine and you really mean to give it away and there are no strings attached to it, very often you get good things happening to you at some point in time. Not always immediately, but, you know, nice things happen to you. And a week or so later, we were running a flea market, not a flea market, an arts and crafts fair thing, and he had his photographs out. And at the beginning of the day, somebody said that they really, really liked one of his pictures, but they didn't have that kind of money, and he gave it to them. And at the end of the day, he came up to me, and he was furious. He said, well, it doesn't work. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, I gave a picture away, and I didn't get anything in return, nothing. Nobody gave me anything all day. And I said, could it be that you gave with the expectation of getting something back? And he said, well, of course I did. And I said, well, then that's probably why you got nothing, because you gave nothing. And he said, I gave a perfectly good photograph away. And I said, yes, but you expected something in return. And if you expect something in return, you won't get anything, because you've attached a string to it. And he told me that was garbage, and it was ridiculous, because we were both in the spiritual development class at the church that we were running the thing for. But I found it fascinating, because to me it was an illustration of, he gave with expectations, he got nothing back. I gave without expectations, and I didn't do it to be, you know, a goody-goody. I was just having fun. And it never occurred to me that there would ever be any return. It was just, I had a good time. And there was absolutely nothing connected to, you know, the stuff I gave away. And because of that, the stuff did come back to me. And it has to, the aspect, the sense of giving without expectation is a really hard thing to do, because for the most part there is usually some sort of expectations. Chris of Curious Times was talking about somebody wanted to give her something, and she said, I receive unconditionally and I give unconditionally. And the person said, what does that mean? And she said, if you want to give me something, wonderful, but don't expect something in return down the line. And she was, I guess, preparing the person for the fact that there were no strings attached, you know. And I think that the person, I don't know if they actually gave to her or whatever, but if they gave with no strings attached, somewhere down the line, something would be given to them. It is cause and effect. And if there are no strings attached to it, I think what you get in return is so much richer than what you actually give in the first place. And that's just my belief system. You know, you can debate that, you know, all you want. But in my experience, when I have, you know, been joyful and given stuff, and there have been no strings, I've only had wonderfuls come my way. A good example of that is when Patrick passed away, he had someone who was working with him, a young man. He was 40. He was a young man. And he he and Patrick worked together, and they had a they were as close as you could. They were friendly. I wouldn't say they were friends, but they were friendly. And when Patrick died, I had his van, and I thought this would be something that this guy could use. So I gave him Patrick's van. And a couple of months later, I noticed it wasn't around because he lives across the road here. And I said, you know, did it break down? And he said, no, I sold it. I had to sell it. And he sold it so he could buy drugs. And I was extraordinarily disappointed and upset because I really felt that that was not what Patrick would have liked. And then the more I thought about it, the more I realized, I had expectations that he would value it as something of Patrick's the same way I did, and he didn't. And so I had to actually put strings on it and not realized it. And, you know, did a little bit of, you know, internal talking to myself that you know, when you give a gift, there should be no strings attached to it. You should, you know, a gift is a gift, and you should be able to let go of it and let the person do what they want with it. I had conditions on that gift, and it really gave me a sour feeling in my stomach that, you know, perhaps I wasn't ready to give away something of Patrick's, perhaps. I have no idea, but I judged what he did with a gift, and that wasn't appropriate. I mean, when you give a gift, you give a gift, and you don't put strings on it, but apparently I had. And that was an awakening for me, so that I think that you know, we have to really pay attention when we're giving something. Are we truly and really giving it away, or are we putting expectations on the other person to appreciate our thoughtfulness, which is not a good idea. And perhaps sometimes we should pay attention to what we put extraordinary thought into. And you know, are we looking at getting credit for being thoughtful, or are we genuinely just having such a good time putting something together and giving it to another person? That joy should be enough. And if it's not enough, then the gift is inappropriate. So we have to pay attention to where we're coming from. And you know, not put expectations on other people for understanding how awesome we actually are. There have been times when I thought I had the perfect gift for someone, and I struggled. And my mother had gold beads that had been her mother's, and she had a pair of gold beads that were her own, and both sets of gold beads were broken. And one Christmas, I snuck them out of the house, and I had them put into a single strand of gold beads for my mother, thinking it would be just the most awesome present she ever got for Christmas. And when she opened it, she looked at me and said, "What were you thinking? How could you have done this?" And I thought I was doing a good thing, and apparently I wasn't. But it's, you know, pay attention to how much you put into things for people and what your expectations are for the return, and, you know, what is your purpose and reason for doing things like this. It's a mini version of karma. I truly thought I was doing something really cool, and apparently it wasn't, and perhaps I should have asked her first, since they were her beads in the first place. But I set something in motion that, I mean, it was really devastating to her, and I hadn't meant that at all. And my intention, I think, was to really not impress my mother, but to do something that she would find touching, and she did find it touching, just not in the way I had intended. So intentions and all of that came into this, and I guess I had hoped and intended that she would be really, really touched by the gift, and that isn't, she was, just not in the way I had expected. So our intentions and our reasons for doing things, you know, as simple as something like giving a gift is setting karma in motion. It's putting energy out there. It's sending something out there and there is something that will come back at you. Just make sure that your expectations are nothing, because what is it they say? If you don't expect anything, you're never disappointed. In a way, that's very, very true. Gonna pull Deb in here. Hi, Deb. You have some, I've noticed you typing a lot. Do you have some impressions on karma stuff here?
Well, I still have it, you know, watered down to my understanding that dharma and karma is just other words for cause and effect. You can, you know, spoof it up. And sure, you know, dharma is the force that holds you together, according to some. And karma is, you know, what comes from that. You know, sometimes, you know, people have got to get into the frame of mind that they can't complain about the karma they get unless they really pay attention to the dharma they use.
Exactly. And yes, exactly. And the philosophy that you work from, you know, does determine what the karma is. You're absolutely right. And
you know, it goes back to that other thing, too. When we started this, we kind of got stuck using The Secret as an example because it was something most generally everybody within the group here was at least slightly aware of. They'd at least heard of it, even if they didn't delve into it, but they'd at least heard of it. But as going through that, they realized, or I hope they did, after you presented more information, that they only heard half of it.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times are we going to get stuck? I mean, me, much included, get stuck in doing the half that fits, the half that feels good, the half that we latch onto without adding the other half so that you're working with a whole.
Mm-hmm. Well, I the good part of The Secret is it made people think. The bad thing about The Secret is they didn't give it, they gave it a commercial presentation so they could make money, which is fine.
Right.
But people took it as golden.
That was the whole deal, and then people were left wondering, well, what did I do wrong? You know, why it's broke. It doesn't work for me. Well,
yeah,
it won't.
And
you don't have all the parts. You can't make a blender work if you've only got the motor or only got the top.
No, the top is really important too.
Well, the bottom, because if you don't have the thing to stir, you just got a top. But what I'm just saying, they're interwoven halves of a whole that you can't just dice it apart and say, I'm only going to keep. That's like having sweet and sour pork or sweet and sour chicken.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have the sweet and the sour, or you just got
chicken. Well, yeah, and I think where The Secret, you know, for me fell apart was they talked about a vision board, and all you need to do is put your hopes and your wishes and your dreams on the board and just walk away, and then magic happens, and that's not the way it works. You have to be focused on making the changes to allow these things to come into your life. And they were right in saying, you know, you don't have to know how it can happen. You just, among other things, have to believe it will happen, and then you have to change your perception to embrace it coming into your life, and you move forward towards that goal. You don't sit back and expect miracles to happen without you changing your life and your perception and how you are focused upon your reality. And you change all those things, and your reality has to change. It can't stay stagnant. And the reality is that we are molecules. There is always motion. We are always in motion. Things are always happening. And because they're always happening and changing, that means they can change in any particular direction we choose to focus on. And it is a conscious change. It is a conscious effort in order to start to perceive things differently. It isn't just you don't just say, I'm going to think more positively today. You think more positively today. You consciously choose the positive aspects to look at as opposed to dwelling on things that are uncomfortable. And I've never understood that. Why would somebody want to dwell on discomfort and misery when they have the choice to not, to dwell on?
Well, that's true, but that goes back to the part of what we talked about a little bit yesterday. Of course, that's not fair to refer to. Not everybody was here yesterday. How many times, depending on how we were brought up, in what conditions, I guess I want to say, or what atmospheres as children, that first off, one of the first thing they teach you, in many of the Judeo-Christian religions is it's good to suffer. The more you suffer, the better you are.
Yeah.
And you know what? I really don't think that that's, Creator's way of the process at all. But when we're children, too often we are conditioned well into, this must be so. All the adults say so. And, maybe not, I think it gets started.
Well, yes, I think. Well, absolutely, and we have so many people that help to. And I was talking about programming our consciousness, our reality. It does happen that way. Parents program us, teachers program us, religion programs us, and to a point in time. We don't have any control over that. We just have to take it all in. But there is a moment in time, and I think it's in our 18-20s, in there someplace, where we have the power and enough intelligence to say, wait a minute, let me turn around and let me start questioning. And I think when Patrick was 16 or 18, he wrote down everything he'd been taught, and then he spent the next 10 years either proving or disproving all of the things that he'd been taught. And horrifyingly, he found that most of the stuff he'd been taught was not true. So it's important to understand that questioning is good. And you're right. We are – parents try to bring children up so that they have the information they need in order to – sustain themselves within reality. Most parents, and I'm probably as guilty as everybody else is, protect their children to the point where their children aren't allowed to think and question. It's because I'm your mother and because that's what I've been taught, I'm teaching you. And so that we send them to college or out into the world having to learn that aspect of first, you're allowed to question, and second, you're allowed to make your own decisions and choices. And that's a heavy-duty responsibility to give a 16, 17, 18-year-old kid.
And then they wonder why there's so much culture shock that first semester or year when they get into college. I remember when I went, and I didn't leave home to go to college. I was needed at home, but just the shift into from high school to college, because all of a sudden you were said, here's a pile of books, be here, do, and after that, it was you're free, just do it.
Yeah.
And we were still, we just in over here come across 13 years of do this, don't do that. You can think again tomorrow. It shuts off three, kind of thing. But, I mean, it was a spin. It was such a big spin.
I personally am of the opinion now, with retrospective sight, that college is really not an academic as much as it is a social adjustment for people. That you know, you're beginning to understand that you're in control, and you have to take control, and sooner or later you're going to have to support yourself. And so you learn to deal with society there, outside of the purview of your parents. And so many kids allow the schools to continue the programming. And then a lot of the kids, you know, somebody said something about the questioning starts in the 30s. Oh, that was you.
That was me.
And questioning in
earnest, because that's kind of when they take and decide, well, they want to reinvent themselves. This doesn't work. That did work. The other thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, they question when they 16, 17, get that adjust into the adult mode thing. You know, what fits, what works, what doesn't. You know, what comes back and, you know, smacks them. And then I think it's another about 16 years or so. Because I know when I was 31, I was like, is this it? Is this what I thought adulthood was? I said, I'm not liking this. I have to rework it. And I had to rework me.
I think it's horrifying in a way that there are people out there that don't understand they have total control of their environment and their reality and their destiny. And I think it's horrible that we aren't taught about the two levels of consciousness that are within us, that our perception of our reality determines what that reality is and the destiny that goes beyond that. I'm horrified to think that some of the material we're talking about is new to people, as opposed to, you know, I would rather hope that it's reminding people of what they already knew but forgot, because that there were 60 people about that signed up for these circles. First of all, I was amazed by, but secondly, it's important knowledge and wisdom that all of us should have been given. Oh, gosh, when we were maybe 16, 17 years old. And can you imagine what kind of reality we would have created if we had known this and understood the universal laws and the consequences of our actions? But if those universal laws and everything they stand for, the Dharma, had been pounded into us as much as some of the religious and some of the academic stuff, if that had been pounded into us, how much different reality would be today?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's sort of like, did you ever get the people say, well, I'd have told you if you'd have just asked? That kind of goes back to, you got to already know the answer to the question to form the question. It's playing Jeopardy. If you've got to, you know the answer to come up with the question. Because if it's something out there that's never, ever been induced to your, you know, world, your thought process, your thinking span, however you want to put that, how can you conceive to formulate the questions? You can't ask about what you don't know.
No, you're absolutely right. And that is, and that's been the thing that wise people have thrown at us and chuckled so often. You know, if you can ask the question, you already have the answer inside of you. And it's true. But I think that we have a responsibility to all who ask questions, who really wonder, is there more? Is there, you know, do I have greater power? Whatever. I think there's a responsibility to put the information out there. And for those who, you know, are hungry for it, they'll take it. And for those who are not, they won't. But that's part of the reason why I'm doing this, because it's, you know, it may be out there, I just couldn't find it. And I couldn't find it in my own area for sure. But I have the same questions everybody else does. I may be, you know, I may be a half step ahead because I have an understanding of some of this because I've been at it longer, but not because I'm any wiser. I just have more time served. So I am horrified to think that people are still so programmed in the schools and in life, and yet they've not been given the tools to have a rich life. They've been given tools to create a physical life of wealth and abundance, but nothing on a spiritual level. And spiritual is a part of every major religion out there. I'm not saying you should give up your religion in order to be spiritual. I'm saying you should be spiritual to have a greater understanding of the richness that is within you and whatever your religious preference is, if you have one. And if you don't have one, that doesn't mean you can't have spiritual richness, because you certainly can. Just the simple things that we've been through, the universal laws, karma and dharma, what goes around comes around. I mean, we're going to get into Akashic Records, and we're going to get into reincarnation. We're going to get into a lot of other aspects of the spiritual realms. But it's really so important going into all of this that everybody understand that they have the power within them to change their reality, to in some way modify things that come their way. If they know that they've done something that is going to get them some karmic feedback at some point in time, they know how to mellow that out. They know how to, with their own perception and understanding and kindness, love and generosity, compassion, empathy and all of that stuff, they know they have the tools to really mediate so much of the stuff in their life, and yet they let themselves get slammed, and so it boggles the mind slightly, but this is information that has been out there. Karma and dharma go back to the Hindus and the Buddhists. Karma and dharma have been around for a very long time, and you know, the universal laws, oh my God, they've been around since God knows when. But and he's not, or she is not telling, but they are universal. In other words, they've been spoken of, they've been put out there in almost every religion there is known to man. And they are givens. And if you live your life accordingly, if you use that as a foundation, And if your intention is honorable and spiritual and loving, you will pay off whatever your overdue is from past lifetimes, and you will gather more for this lifetime and the lifetimes yet to come. I mean, it's that easy. This is a moment in time. This is not all there is. This is a moment in time. This lifetime is a moment in time. It's a grain of sand on a huge beach or huge desert, whichever floats your boat. But it is a moment, but it is an important moment. And whatever consciousness you have now, if you expand it into and embrace a lot of these concepts, you will have a greater richness in your life for sure. I guarantee it. I promise it. I guarantee. I've seen it happen. It's happened in my life. Deb, you've seen it happen in your life. And
yes, indeed.
So that it is, it's magic. And, you know, we all are looking for magic, but we don't realize that the absolute, you know, the essence of magic, the real magic in there is the joy that we can find in every moment. The magic is there and we can use it. It's just that we have been taught it doesn't exist, and therefore we don't believe it to the degree that we need to believe it in order to make it happen within our lives to the greater extent that we want it to. Long sentence. It's a matter of not only understanding but believing and embracing and sort of paving the road so that you can roll down the road without the bumps. And all of that is possible. Is it easy? No. Does it take work? Sure. Is it worthwhile? Oh, you got to be kidding me. Of course it is. But people don't know that those choices are out there for them, and it just blows me away that so many people can be clueless and feel that they are being manipulated by the greater corporate entities out there, and they are. And
They are.
You know, but there are other ways. You don't need to be. You know, they're to a certain degree, you can't go out and overthrow the government. People have tried. That doesn't work. But you can change your own reality. And in changing your reality, other people will ask you, how did that happen? Why did that happen? You can tell them. You can share it. They can change theirs. And sooner or later, it will spread. And sooner or later, it will be a different world. And it may be later or, you know, or sooner. Personally, my thought is I would love it to be sooner. Chances are it's later. But so long as your own little corner of reality is happier and joyful and you have an understanding of things, then you know, everything falls into place. And you know, you're immediate people that are around you, they kind of, it rubs off. It does rub off. And if you have children, it will rub off on them to a degree. I'm still working on mine, but, you know, I got lots of time left. So, and my grandchildren, for sure, I can't wait to get my hands on them. But understanding that your perception changes your reality, it's that simple. How you really see things changes how your reality is. And what is out there is what's inside of you. So that if you're not perceiving things and it feels wrong, then you need to go inside and you need to change how you feel, how you perceive, how you, you know, are you holding anger? Are you holding, you know, do you want revenge? Do you, you know, any number of things. And once you've determined that those things are there, then you can get rid of them. You have total control. You have absolutely total control. You can change everything. Now, can you change the world as a whole? Not in one lifetime, but I bet you come back time after time and you share that kind of a philosophy. And if that is your intent when you come into a lifetime, then you can have impact. Not any one of us has any concept of how many people we touch and we impact in just a singular day, because it's again that domino effect. You smile at somebody in the grocery store and tell them how pretty they look. They have a better feeling about themselves, and so they do something nice for one or two people, and then they do something nice for one or two people, and you have created a wave of joy. And you don't know where it's going, and you don't need to know where it's going. You only know that I plunked a drop here, and I plunked a drop there, and I plunked a drop over there. And sooner or later, everything kind of flows together. It starts with a little bit. It starts with a single thought, a single action. But over time, and I'm not talking, you know, 12 hours, I'm talking decades or centuries or eons, but sooner or later those drops become a tsunami and they change the whole world. Maybe not this lifetime, maybe 100 lifetimes from now. Who knows? We'll come back. We'll check it out. We'll add to, hopefully. But it's, you know, we have an obligation to this lifetime, but not only this lifetime, but to lifetimes yet to come. We want to make sure that the lifetimes yet to come are the recipient of a lot of good thoughts and good perceptions and things like that. So you know, I'm going to change the world, and I'm going to do it one lifetime at a time. So, you know, it's not like the shampoo. It doesn't work it overnight, but it does work it. I love that commercial, and they told two friends and so on and so on and so on. I mean, it was a great commercial. But it does happen, and if you understand the fact that we're here for the long run, we're not here for just a lifetime, we're here for a long run, and in that run, each time if we make those changes, those those alterations in our perception, if we plant those seeds of joy and love and abundance, sooner or later they will absolutely, absolutely, absolutely evolve into a world that is far better than the world that we see now. And the world we see now isn't all that bad. I got to tell you, it's really a pretty cool place. It is, of course, all up to your perception. And so, I'm going to feed you in a minute. It's half an hour past feeding time here, and the crew is hungry, but you know they will wait 10 minutes. They won't kill them. But it is something that we want to all look at. It's something that we all want to embrace, and it's something we all want to understand. And where appropriate, share the wisdom. And the understanding. Put it out there. I mean, every now and then people will ask you questions and you can plant seeds. And those seeds will make them ask and stretch even further. So it's a slow process, but those who are aware, those who understand, can plant the seeds. Become a Johnny Appleseed, but plant your seeds of awareness throughout the whole universe, not just in one little orchard. So I got to thank everybody for being here. I got to thank everybody for taking the time out of their day and setting their alarm clocks, Glynis. Thank you so much. And Deb, thank you for all of your
my pleasure.
All of your insight and all of your time. You're a very busy lady, and I so appreciate you taking the time to help me out with this because it's sort of important to know who was here and keep tabs on everything. But I thank you. I thank everybody for being here. Gonna click off and feed my cats. But I will see people on Thursday or Friday of next week. And there is a nightlight somewhere in there too. So have a great day, evening, afternoon. Everybody, take care now. Bye-bye. Thank you.